Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is my favorite hour of the week, my opportunity to bring you to another level. As it relates to health, wealth, and spiritual depth, those of you that listen to the show, you know what I mean. Now, check the title of the show out today. Brown Fat, Breath Techniques, and Activating the Higher Centers of the Brain. I'm going to say that again. Those of you who already know, get to the website, especially in an hour or so, 2 hours. I'm going to put a more complicated version of this show on, but this is just so worth it. I had to study for this show. Brown Fat, Breath Techniques, and Activating the Higher Centers of the Brain. What is that about? Two words. Wim Hof. Check that out. Wim Hof. Sounds like a foreign language. It is. It's Dutch. This is a guy. His name is Wim. W-I-M Hof. H-O-F. We might know him as the Iceman. Wim Hof, the Iceman. You got to listen to this guy talk. This guy is a gift. He is a gift. He suffered. He got on the other side of it. He has made a contribution. If you get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, I put Wim Hof. He's being interviewed on the Joe Rogan show. And I put this clip. It's like a 2.5 hour clip. In addition, I put another YouTube on the site of Wim Hof and his techniques and his message and the things that science is saying about what he does. To cut to the chase, Wim Hof, that's W-I-M-H-O-F, Wim Hof is about 60 years old. Wim Hof dives into ice cold water and, using a special breath technique, taps into the primal centers of his brain and then has scientists measure the physiological changes. And I mean skeptical scientists measure the physiological changes. And he has just added another chapter to our understanding of human physiology. Now, it's not anything that ancient swamis and alchemists understood. In other words, in India, you have guys doing the sorts of things that Wim Hof does. Only they didn't measure it in the swamis. They just observed it. But what Hof has succeeded at doing through training, and I mean, his feats are legion. I mean, he knew how to gather a crowd. What this guy did, one of the things he did in his shorts, not in his underwear, but I could say tongue in cheek, basically in sneakers and underwear, you ready for this? Those of you sitting there at breakfast eating your Cheerios, Wim Hof hiked to the top of Mount Everest in his shorts and sneakers. That's right. Well below zero, wind chill factor, this guy hiked to the top of Mount Everest. This guy goes underwater in polar water. Goes, swims under the ice 100, 150 meters. I mean, if you listen to the YouTubes I have on the show, on the website, that's straighttalk.cc, you're going to just, you will be blown away at what this guy does with his body. I mean, this is the real thing. And his sincerity is like nobody's. This guy is so pure. This guy is not about money. This guy is just about sharing what he's learned. And he's hilarious. And he's got this Holland Dutch English accent that also makes it even better. So on the website, if you're driving, obviously you can't get to it. But when you can, straighttalk.cc, I put two shows on. One with Joe Rogan and another one that basically shows you on film all of Hoff's physiological feats and then has the scientists talk about what they found. So the name is Wim Hof. I'm going to center the show around him. But underneath it, it's about how Hof and you, if you want to, and others he teaches. And again, this has been around for a long time. But I don't think anyone's encapsulated it as well as of recent. And that's kind of the way we work in the West. All that stuff in India and all that stuff in China and all that stuff that goes on in the caves. Well, we kind of hear about it, but we don't believe it until some scientist studies it. And then we go, well, gee, that's interesting. It's kind of dumb. In a way, Westerners are dumb. In a way, Americans are dumb. Even though they're not dumb, they're smart. Even though, well, the diversity in America allows information like this to travel. So we're not dumb, but we are very slow, and not because we're so wise, to think that there's other levels that we don't get outside science. And you always hear me yak about this. Empiricism means you see it, you experience it. To know it is to believe it. And yet the head gets in the way, and we need 15 scientific articles out of Harvard before we believe what we already know in our body. And that's why I always kind of talk with that edge. Brown fat, breath techniques, and activating the highest centers of the brain. All right, first of all, brown fat. Let's talk about brown fat. No, that is not the fat on your belly. That's the white fat. And that white fat is fascinating in and of itself. We now understand your fat as an endocrine organ. But I'm going to leave that one alone for another show. It's the brown fat. Where's the brown fat? Well, you're not touching it. The brown fat is it's certain parts of the body, and those parts vary, but one place it lives is deep in the body around the organs. This is one place. And of course, infants utilize the brown fat to make heat. The special thing about brown fat is you can generate massive amounts of heat with it. Thus, when people do these feats of endurance, like they go into sub-zero temperatures and they meditate. There was a guy years ago, Norman somebody. I can't remember his name. Was it Norman Cousins? It may have been Dr. Norman Cousins, and he'd film all these esoteric things. As a scientist, he was a medical doctor, scientist, researcher. Wrote books on it. Great stuff. And one thing he'd film is in the Himalayas, the Swami's there going way up at 15, 20,000 feet. I mean, you couldn't breathe there. And these Swami's are soaked wet with a cold, wet sheet, a white sheet over their body. And they hang out there in the cross-legged position in the sub-zero temperatures. And of course, this is on film. And they meditate and they generate so much heat inside their body that the heat turns the wet sheet to steam. And he would film the steam coming off the sheet and blah, blah. And he did that on many levels. And it's all true. It takes training, but it's true. Now, the way those swamis did that was a certain breath technique that allowed them to get the brown fat working. Now, you know, brown fat, by the way, is being studied at Vanderbilt University. There's an Indian doctor that's studying brown fat and its use as an endocrine organ to produce insulin to cure type 1 diabetes. And what this Indian woman did is take brown fat, transplant it into diabetic mice, and the diabetes was gone. Now, that's what she's trying to do. You look it up, Vanderbilt University, cure for diabetes, brown fat. You'll see what I'm talking about. This scientist is looking for someone to pair to expand on this research. I don't think anyone is. And why? Well, you know why. Somebody's figuring out they can't make enough money doing it. But she's on YouTube, she's in Google, and she's looking for money to do this because there's something magnificent about the brown fat. Now, the ancients figured out a way to tap into the brown fat. Thus, the swamis being able to meditate and breathe and going into the brown fat to create massive amounts of thermogenesis to the point where they turn the icy cold wet sheet to steam. Who learned to do that? Wim Hof. Okay, so that's the setup for the show. This Dutchman has figured out how to use breath and icy plunges into freezing Arctic water to stimulate thermogenesis off his brown fat. Massive health returns when doing that. Massive health returns. Let's take a look here. First of all, the brown fat. Well, I'll lay down a word that I want you to wrap yourself around. Mitochondrion. The mitochondrion are parts of human cells, of all cells, most cells. There's some division along the way. I can't remember what it is, but definitely mammals. And in the mitochondria, you produce your currency for the cell, the energy currency, called adenosine triphosphate, ATP. We've all had some of this, even in grammar school. Well, a fat cell has maybe one mitochondria. Well, it's got a minimal number of mitochondria in the cell. A fat cell. A fat cell on your belly. Okay. Brown fat have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times the number of mitochondria. Meaning it is an energy-producing cell on a whole other level. But most of that energy in a brown fat cell, which infants have in abundance, which begin to disappear in adults, but which we know we can grow and definitely stimulate if we're trained to do it. Thus the swamis, thus Wim Hof. The mitochondria in the brown fat is at some astronomical number. Why? Because it allows that cell then to produce a lot of what we call heat. It doesn't produce more ATP. That energy producing mechanism, ATP, which I've had on many of my shows, which we're talking about when we talk about increasing cell energy, that's not the interest of the brown fat cell. The brown fat cell is designed not to produce more ATP. It's designed to produce heat. And heat's what you need when you're meditating up there on the 2,000 story next to heaven at 50 below zero or whatever it is, with no RB, with no oxygen. That this is pulled off is a miracle in and of itself. But science understands it as activating the brown fat centers. Science today is understanding that activating the brown fat produces all sorts of funny hormones like insulin and so on and so forth. Again, what am I getting at? It's the Medici hour. We're talking about hidden centers in the body. We're talking about dispelling the myth that this is all a bunch of archaic nonsense. We're talking about the possibility that really the miracles we hear about, Old Testament, New Testament, different other religious texts, scriptures, all the stuff going back into olden times, had a real foundation in science. And our arrogance and somewhat condescension over the last 200 years is only because we're young in our own evolution. And so we've written off a lot of stuff. I'm a literalist. I think all that stuff in religious scripture is on the money. But I think the last 200 years of Western civilization have kind of held a skeptical eye because we've learned, we have had forced down our throat that if the CDC and Harvard And the AMA say it's true, and if it's not, it's not. And that is a joke. And Wim Hof is proving that. What did Wim Hof do? All right, look. I'll just have to tell you. Using a breath technique that I'm going to describe to you briefly, he allowed himself to be injected with virulent bacteria. I mean, the kind of stuff that for 2 days you were going to scream in agony. Fever, flu, muscular ache, bad pain. No, you wouldn't die, but man, you were going to get sick. Now, he allowed himself to be injected with this type of virulent bacteria. You know, it's interesting. It reminds me of the Coley vaccine. You've heard me mention this. In 1900, an MD in New York is injecting people with terminal cancer, big, ugly tumors. You know, the ones in those pathology books that are spooky. You know, some guy that works in a hat factory has a brain tumor coming out the side of his head, and it's as big as a watermelon because he doesn't have money. Or because they don't know what to do about it. Well, this guy Coley. Yeah, I'm diverging, but you'll get my point. This guy Coley injects these massive tumors with Streptococcus viridans. And on a lot of cases, the tumor dissolves in 24 to 48 hours. That was called the Coley toxin. The Coley toxin is still used today in different parts of the world, Germany, Mexico, as alternative cancer solutions. It's one of the things. It's part of a bigger word called bacteriotherapy. Well, Hof didn't do that one. But what he did, because he started doing these feats of strength, is he allowed scientists who started to, well, hear about him. And they got curious, what is this guy doing? And they said, okay, we're going to study this guy. I love this kind of stuff. So they started studying this guy. And lo and behold, you'll see in the video. So get to the website, straighttalk.cc. Watch the video. And he's in a hospital bed. And they inject him with these noxious bacteria. I think it's a strain of E. coli, the kind that makes you violently ill. And he barely gets sick. Barely. Now I'm sitting here at the desk looking at a 6-volume collection of a book called The Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East by a multi-millionaire industrialist named Baird Baird, B-A-I-R-D, T as in Thomas Spalding, who wrote a 6-volume years ago. This is like 100 years ago. He wrote a 6-volume collection describing his travels in the Far East when the world was a lot cleaner and the things he came across and the knowledge he learned. And I love books like that. Explorers of yesteryear bringing to us the mysteries of the world. And in it, he talks about these swamis that he runs into who, for just, you know, for whatever reason, to show you they know what they're about, etc., drink lethal toxic poison. And I've read accounts like this my whole life. And it fascinates me. All the way to Ram Dass. Remember Ram Dass? I think he just died. Talks about his swami back in the 60s consuming massive amounts of lysergic acid, of LSD. Oh yeah, it's the famous Ram Dass story. His guru ingests massive amounts of LSD and nothing happens. So I've been reading about this for years. And then comes this guy, Wim Hof. Now you'll see this on the video. And what he's doing is breathing. Well, we'll call it the Wim Hof method. It is certainly not the Wim Hof method. You'll see him do it. You'll see him teach Joe Rogan on the website to do it. And basically, you don't nose breathe. And nose breathing, because the vibration hits the dural tissues, really is the way to breathe. But you can experience variations in the breath that do very, very interesting things. And one of these things is centered around hyperventilation. Hoff is basically doing a variant of hyperventilation, just as Stan Grof did in his breath work. If you're not familiar, hyperventilation, which you understand, you're breathing fast, breathing fast, breathing fast. Like when you're out of breath, you're breathing fast because you don't have enough oxygen and because you got to get the carbon dioxide out because you got scared or you ran too fast. Well, hyperventilation, if you use it as a breath technique, can have very, very interesting therapeutic qualities to it, as bad as it might be if you don't understand how to do it. And that's the caveat with hyperventilation techniques. But a psychiatrist, Stan Grof, used it to cure people of anxiety disorders, etc., depression. Hoff is doing the same thing, but he's got another spin to it because he's doing it in ice cold water, utilizing his brown fat reserves and growing them to withstand those icy temperatures to the point where it hits his bone marrow, meaning he hits still point. Yeah, you're going to have to get to the website again. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is my 30-minute bulletin. Later on, get to straighttalk.cc. I'm going to do in about 2 hours a much more comprehensive show. We're going to slow it down and deepen our understanding of this stuff because it's big. It's big. It's really big. But what I love to do is find stuff like this and break it down for you, cutting through all the baloney and the nonsense and getting to you the essences. And that's why you listen to this show. But what Hoff is doing is he's breathing heavily through the mouth. So he's doing mouth breath for 30 breaths. And on the 30th breath, what he does is he exhales fully until, and he holds his breath until you can't do it anymore, until after 30 mouth breaths and a deep exhalation and holding the breath, you just can't hold your breath anymore. And then you take one huge, big, deep breath, and then you hold that for 10 to 15 seconds. And while you're holding your last breath for 10 to 15 seconds, you kind of like pull your stomach in, which creates pressure up in the head, and then you tap your heart, your arms, your neck, your head. And then when you can't do it anymore, you can't hold it anymore, you let go. And then you know what? You do it again. And you keep doing that. Now, he's doing it like that, only he's in ice-cold freezing water. What you're going to see Joe Rogan do on the site is just sit in his chair and almost pass out. Why? You're hyperventilating. But now here's the clincher. There is a great article on the site at the top where I list the articles on top of the pictures. The Magic of Hyperventilation. The Magic of Hyperventilation. And this article, I'm going to look at it again. Just if you're on the site now, just look at that article. The Magic of Hyperventilation. It's a short story of an anesthesiologist new learning about how they use hyperventilation. They induce it during surgery to bring down the amount of anesthesia, I guess, when appropriate. And this anesthesiologist learns this as he's new to anesthesiology and understands it's done standard routine and then starts studying hyperventilation, which, by the way, has lots of negative side effects. But what he points out in this article, and I love this because it's an anesthesiologist coming from left field on this. He has nothing to do with gurus and swamis and feats of strength and the rest of it. He's just a guy that knows that understanding hyperventilation is important to bring down the amount of anesthesia, which if you're, you know, not that healthy, if you're much, much older in your 80s, is a really important thing. And I love it. If you scroll down on this and scroll down on it and scroll down on it and keep scrolling all the way down and down and down and down and down, you get to this part that I'm never going to get to because I'm not sure where it is, but it's on the bottom. It tells you that the secret with hyperventilation is it produces hypoxia to the brain, which isn't good. It's not going to kill you, but it's not good. But what the reduced cerebral flow to the brain does, this is it, and I love it. It diverts the blood flow to other parts of the brain that normally don't get perfusion, as much perfusion. So it points out, this is the hard science, that one of the secrets of inducing hyperventilation is it starts diverting blood flow to your reptilian brain. And that's where the altered states of consciousness begin. That's big. That's big. That's big. That's really, really, really big. And that's why Groff, the psychiatrist, used it as a replacement for drugs. That's why Wim Hof is so passionate about it. And that's why this anesthesiologist wrote the article. And it's only a sentence out there in the middle of nowhere on the article. Because the rest of the article is about anesthesia or how hyperventilation is bad. But it's that one part that teaches us what the swamis are up to. And my God, the show is almost over. Not to mention, when you induce this, you get a burst of epinephrine. As I said, the change in blood flow to the reptilian part of the brain. You produce a ton of interleukin 10, and you produce all these pro-inflammatory mediators, all the chemicals that get produced in response to a bacterial invasion don't get produced when you hyperventilate. And you can read about that on the site, and that is exactly what Hof and the Swamis do. They induce hyperventilation, put themselves in delta state, shunt their blood flow to the reptilian brain, and when they drink the poisons, there's no immune system reaction. Meaning the high inflammatory reaction, which, by the way, is the reason you get so sick, is deeply suppressed. And that's why they appear unaffected. And that's why Hof. And then Hof taught everyone else to do it. And these scientists, rather than just pushing him to the side, had to admit there was something going on because he taught dozens of people to do it and they were studied too. Get on the website, straighttalk.cc. Study this stuff. 714-850-1007. That's my office. If you're out there in limbo with your health, call, make the appointment, get your life together. We'll see you next week. 2 hours later, I do the rest of this show, the deeper version. See you next week. Part two. Okay, if you're listening to this part of the show, just finish the first half. You're on the computer. You're looking at the website. I don't have to tell you, you're already there. What a show. What a show. Now let's get into the deep stuff. Okay, this guy's for real. His name is Wim Hof. If you're listening to this show and you're sick, listen to this show. If you're not sick and you want to get to the other level, listen to this show. I don't think anybody does this kind of thing better than me. Really. And what you might not know that makes me most excited about this show is I found that article. That article on the magic of hyperventilation. If you take that article down to the bottom, my tech was out of town, so I wasn't as proficient with the, here it is, blah, blah. It's fascinating. I'm still not going to find it. I'll get it before we're over today. But down there towards the bottom, it talks about how the blood flow gets shunted to other parts of the brain, to the reptilian brain, just above drowning and hyperventilation. Just above drowning and hyperventilation, This is in that great article by the anesthesiologist. It's such an innocent article. I mean, the guy doesn't know squat about any of this, and he's just an anesthesiologist. And if you scroll that article down just above the part that says drowning and hyperventilation, look two paragraphs above it. So drowning and hyperventilation, that's where it is. These relative changes in blood flow and the electroencephalogram reflect reduced activities in these regions of the brain. The frontal lobes requiring blood for cognitive function don't get the blood when you hyperventilate. So one of the bad side effects of the hyperventilation, you know, you can get nauseous, lightheaded. I don't like it. Personally, doing Graf and the rest of it, I don't really like that feeling. Some people like it. Some people have to do it to calm their body. I breathe diaphragmatically, and as others will tell you, diaphragmatic breath towers over this stuff, but everything has its place. So this hyperventilation thing, and again, what I am so proud of is this little blurb here. I mean, you know, you study Graf. Does Graf tell you this? I mean, I got a buddy that did Graf and Graf and Graf that was hanging out with Graf and Graf's right hand, and they don't tell him. You can't even get this from Graf himself. And Wim Hof, I've listened to a lot of Wim Hof. I don't hear him say it. I mean, he's doing it. He's great at it. But this thing about an anesthesiologist talking about diversion of blood flow, I mean, that's the key. It diverts, hyperventilation diverts the blood flow to the reptilian brain. And if you have a consciousness around that, then you're going to have a deeper insight to the world. And this is why Wim Hof, as well as Graf, but let's stick with Wim Hof. This is why he's talking about getting in touch with the primal source. That there's something in the autonomic nervous system that relates to diverting blood flow to the reptilian brain. That's magic. That's what these swamis are doing. Hey, I mentioned these books on the show, on the live show, the AM radio show, a moment ago. Get these books. Baird T. Spaulding. Baird, there's a first name. You know, in the old days, everyone had these funny names. Edgar. Baird T. Spaulding. The Life and Teaching of the Masters of the Far East. Got it from the Bodhi Tree years ago. 6 volumes. Volume 5 will blow your mind. Talks about the swamis growing teeth and explaining how they do it. Talks about regenerating body parts. Talks about Jesus in a way you should hear. This guy was Christian, by the way. But there's lots of stuff we don't know. And this interface between these guys that travel and bring home the bacon, and then we hook it up to the science, there's your Star Wars future. There it is in a nutshell. And we better be going there. Because outside of that, this is a loser. I mean, things don't look good. Let's not get into that. But they don't look good. And I forget about it all when I find out stuff like this. This is why we have to save the planet, to learn more about this. Save the planet. We have to save ourselves, not the planet. The planet's going to be fine. We're nothing. Hyperventilation diverts blood flow. Now, I'm going to take you to what's going on, the guts of what's going on when you hyperventilate. You're on the site. Go to picture number 7. This is the acid-base buffer system between carbon dioxide and carbonic acid and then bicarbonate. You're going to love this. Look at that there. That's picture number 7. Bleep that on. Blow it up. And look at that. H2O puts CO2, makes carbonic acid, H2CO3, plus the bicarbonate ion, plus protons. All right? You got that? Okay. Now, when you're hyperventilating, you're bringing more oxygen into the lung. You're definitely reducing the amount of carbon dioxide in the blood. So when you hyperventilate, you're bringing more oxygen in and you're reducing carbon dioxide in the blood and carbon dioxide in the lung. You're going hypokinetic, as they call it. What's the word? Do I even have that correct? Yeah, you're inducing hypocapnia. So what you're doing by hyperventilating is you're bringing more oxygen in, at least to the lung, but you're definitely reducing CO2 in the blood. And when you reduce CO2 in the blood, the equation shifts to the right. Excuse me. Yes. The equation shifts to the right. Now, in the equation, I'm sorry. Yeah. The equation shifts to the right when you're reducing CO2. And what that does, I said that wrong. Excuse me. Even I can have a senior moment. When you're reducing the CO2, the equation shifts to the left. And when you send the equation to the left, what you do then is you steal hydrogen atoms. So once you shift the equation to the left, you begin to reduce the amount of protons. Reducing the amount of protons then is the equivalent of increasing the alkalinity. So when we say the cells in the intracellular fluid, when we see those cells look out into their water and they see less hydrogen atoms, H+, less protons, you know the pH is going up in between the cells. Now that pH of the intracellular fluid, when it goes up, that means you're increasing the alkalinity. So basically, if you look at that CO2 carbonic acid buffer system, what you're doing when you hyperventilate is shifting that equation to the left, and that sucks up all the protons, so the pHs go up. And when the pHs go up or become more alkaline, hyperventilation is creating an alkaline intracellular fluid. Now, what does that sound like? Sounds like something bacteria don't want. At least certain types. So everything you've heard from Warburg's oxygen increases alkalinity, all the way to measuring your pH of the intracellular fluid with the litmus paper. It all rings true and clear to studying what happens in that acid-base buffer between CO2 and carbonic acid during hyperventilation. What Wim Hof is doing, breathing that way, is inducing a highly alkalized state. And a highly alkalized state can be, within reason, if it's too alkaline, it's going to begin to work against you. But within the right range, and I think this is part of some of the nuances of doing this stuff, within the right range, that more alkaline state, rapidly induced, is a massive wave of trouble. for bacterial endotoxins. Certainly, it's part of what mitigates the inflammatory response in some way. And if it's not that, that increase in alkalinity is definitely related to an ecosystem that works against the upgrade of an infection. So this is one aspect to it. The other aspect is you're in shock. You are in shock. And sudden, healthy shock, we're going to call it, causes a surge of adrenaline. It's kind of like interval training when you sprint up the hill and then you rest and you sprint up the hill and you rest. I don't mean your breath technique. I mean the shock to the body and the adrenaline surge within reason. And again, you don't breathe like this all day, right? You're doing it, in Wim's case, as part of submerging himself in ice-cold temperatures. Or as he's maybe hiking up the side of Mount Everest. But that shock to the system causes the adrenaline surge. Now, they've studied this, so this isn't conjecture. That in this environment, that release of epinephrine causes a surge in all these anti-inflammatories. So the pro-inflammatory antigens, say that would come with this injection of poison, make sure you listen to the videos tandem to this. I mean, this is amazing. This guy lets himself get injected with virulent strains, not to kill him, but to really hurt him. And then teaches others through the breath technique to do the same thing. I mean, that's big. And gets away with it. And the MDs are sitting there scratching their noggins. You know, if you're in the video, when you get on it, one thing that he says, this is Wim. He's telling Joe Rogan, you know, when I did it myself, this makes me laugh or cry, but I just laugh. When Hoff brings his abilities and allows them to be studied by the medical doctors, I mean, they're amazed, but you know what they say? It doesn't mean anything because it's only you. That's what they tell him. I can tell you that. I've had cancer patients, not enough of them, but it has happened, and I documented it. Terminal cancer cases shrink tumors a lot. A lot. Over 80%. And as the medical doctors and the oncologists are reviewing the CT scans, they look at it and they walk away like nothing happened. And you're incredulous. You're watching that and you're going, what is wrong with the world here? Are these guys brain dead? Are they stupid? Do they not care? Didn't they read it? I mean, you can't understand it. But you see, that's just it. You see, in science, the cult of science, the idiot cult of science, what they've done, they tell scientists who medical doctors fantasize that they're in that group. And that is a fantasy. They like to say they're scientific. They're not. But what they train their pseudoscientists to do when they look at something that's against the rules, like Wim Hof, if it's one person, it doesn't mean anything. It's just thrown in the anecdotal category. And that's what they've done to that these couple of these cancer cases I'm talking about. Tumors shrinking, they're supposed to be dead, and the doctors turn around and they go, well, that doesn't mean anything, it's only you. So Hoff is, he's talking real here. So what Hoff did is he taught everyone else to do it. And so then the doctors went in and studied a group of 10 or 15, and all of a sudden, you have a different doctor. And on the YouTube clips, you're going to hear these doctors. Now, it's just, that's it. This guy's doing something for real. I love this. I mean, that's the ticket. Now he's got their attention. Not that he cares. And I really know where he's coming from. He cares, but he doesn't care. And the other piece of it is putting the body in shock causes the available adrenaline to surge. You know, me thinking ahead, I'm wondering what it's like when you do this stuff and you really just don't have any adrenaline. I mean, you're really half dead to begin with. See, I think you're going to have a different outcome there. I think you hyperventilate, then you puke, and that's the end of it. Nothing always works. This is what you have to understand. Nothing always works. We get excited about it when we see some people respond to cure even. And then we inevitably get somehow painted like it always works. Nothing always works. But this works enough. This is big. So, one, and did I put it on? No, I didn't put it on the show, but it's in one of the articles. And it's basically saying that the release of epinephrine, the induction of early anti-inflammatory interleukin 10 production, the attenuation of the pro-inflammatory innate immune response. And when this happens, you're going to have less of those flu-like symptoms, a much swifter normalization of the high fevers that you get. And you know how unpleasant fevers are. And your cortisol levels will regulate much more quickly. So you go through less of a beating. So we're using a couple of things here. One, hyperventilation, causing a shift in the immune response, a diversion of blood flow into the primal centers. And then he's doing this in very cold temperatures. I know there's more to this very cold temperature thing, but one thing we do know about trying to hold it together in very cold temperatures is somehow the kick of adrenaline starts talking to your brown fat reserves. Especially with what? You don't have a lot of fat. And this guy doesn't have a lot of fat. There's something about not having a lot of fat and putting yourself in ice cold temperatures and relying upon your adrenal reserve that talks to your brown fat centers. Now, as I said, brown fat's being studied. We've got it down for being capable of producing insulin. Believe me, if fat, yellow fat, the fat on your belly, the fat on the buttocks, if that fat's an endocrine organ, I can just imagine what brown fat must be doing. One thing for beginners, we got a lot more of it as infants. And that's big. That should be a flag. Because when you come into this world, you're coming in about efficient and dynamic. Yeah, save a few angles on that. But when you come into this world, you're coming in about as efficient and dynamic as you can come into this world. And you're looming and lurking with more brown fat. And then it starts to go away. Man, I'd like to have the cellular efficiency of infancy, the pliability and plasticity of infancy, the rate of absorption of infancy. I mean, if you really get into it, man, infancy is where it's at. Infancy, add a little bit of pain to the batch, overcome your suffering, and you've got resurrection, man. So, you know, there's a lot to be said about infancy, red flag. Not the red flag of wrong, the red flag of something's right, a lot of brown fat. So now you're an adult. And you're tapping into that brown fat. And it's some sort of funny endocrine organ. Throw that into the life and teaching of the masters of the Far East. Throw it into volume 5. There's something big on this. So there he is hanging out, utilizing his brown fat reserves until the water feels warm. Like, he's fine. Like he can hang. Like this is the place to be. You get any sense then of being in that water and diverting your blood flow to your reptilian brain? Talk about core. Core. He's in his bone marrow. That's where he is. He's perfusing his bone marrow. See, one of the things that happens when you're in water like that is the body, it withdraws the blood from the periphery. It diverts, right? Divert. We already know the breath diverts. When you're in water that cold, it diverts the blood to the organ systems. You perfuse, you vasodilate in your deep systems. It's a very interesting thing because the breath work vasoconstricts and shifts blood. Hyperventilation produces a hypoxic state. Cerebral hypoxia to the frontal lobe, thus disorientation, memory issues, etc. But it also diverts the ice. See, he's combining both. The ice vasodilates in the core, which includes the bone marrow. Now put those together. You're talking to your reptilian brain and you're in your bone marrow. I mean, I can hardly sit in this chair. This cat has dropped into something. This is a guy I'm going to follow. I'm going to meet this guy shortly. I'm going to make sure this happens. This is from God. And this guy suffered. You know, young man, wife commits suicide. He's left there with four kids. I mean, you can see in this guy's face, man, he has been crucified. You can see that. And then he's doing a one-armed handstand on top of a rock somewhere, 25,000 feet in the air. Salute, my friend. Salute. All right, so you got that acid-base buffer thing? That's big. Another article, great article, you really got to get in on it, is click to view the article on a comparison of the oxygen advantage and the Wim Hof technique. This oxygen advantage thing's a little different. You hold your breath while you're cycling, and that causes you to produce more red blood cells, and it's a great way to train in the mountains, but you're not in the mountains. So now you got way more red blood cells. Thus, you can grab more oxygen, and it helps you in high-endurance events at lower altitudes because you train like you're at a higher altitude. I mean, that's the gist of it, but they argue with Wim Hof, and this is what I don't like. Now, maybe this guy McKeon isn't arguing with Hof, just to show you there's always another opinion, even if it's the wrong opinion. And they just use science, the science. So I'm shifting now, guys. You got to hang in here. You get into the article by McKeon. This is click to view article on a comparison of the oxygen advantage and the Wim Hof versus the Wim Hof techniques. And the McKeon article on the oxygen thing is going to start growling about what you're doing in this hypokinesic state, meaning your low CO2, is fooling yourself because your cells aren't getting more oxygen because the hemoglobin, the red blood cell, is basically already saturated. But if the CO2 levels drop, what you're assuring yourself is the red blood cell, because the CO2 level has reduced from hyperventilation. What you're ensuring yourself, so the McKeon article says, is you're not going to drop any oxygen off that hemoglobin molecule, which is very different than Hof saying you're supercharging your body with oxygen. So they're arguing with each other. In the end, go do what Wim Hof does. You see, you're talking about a guy that's been studied by scientists doing something like injecting bad bacteria. And you're also talking about an experience through the reptilian brain that you've got to experience. To experience is to know. So what McKeon ought to do is what Hof is doing. And I guarantee you, it's going to be on Hof's side of the fence. guarantee you. Because what McKeon doesn't understand is there's something about increasing the alkalinity by shifting that CO2 carbonic acid buffer. There's something about inducing a higher degree of alkalinity that's very important to this whole extravaganza. And I think McKeon is forgetting that. At the same time, understand, hyperventilation can make you sick. You get into Groff, Stan Groff, the psychiatrist. Just an interesting moment. You know, Groff, Stan Groff, holotropic breath work for neurotic disorders. Groff is a psychiatrist, still alive, was, I think, or is, or definitely was, a big honcho at John Hopkins, head of psychiatry. I mean, heavily credentialed, from Europe, isn't too happy about classic psychoanalytic technique, isn't too happy about using drugs on people, starts to get into the LSD thing, sees the shortcomings of that, and gets into this form of breath work. It's basically, look, the guys of Tibet had all this figured out anyway. It's basically Western guys attenuating or translating what Eastern mystics have understood for a long, long, long time. But we're in the West, that celebrations are a very joyous event. And so Groff's holotropic breath work basically induces hyperventilation with massage. And believe me, you start diverting. You come in with your anxieties, you know, your mommy, daddy stuff or whatever it is. And you bring those bedridden anxiety problems. You bring that to your primal brain and stuff happens. I mean, this was the real thing. These Groff seminars are all over the world and they help people. Not always, right? Nothing always works, but they help people a lot. But I love the Hoff stuff because he's in the water doing this. I mean, guess what? I mean, you know what this is. I'll be filming myself in this water fairly soon. But I want you to make sure you get that carbonic acid thing. All right? There's a strong science there. And increasing that alkalinity is something McKeon, who wrote another book on his technique, is overlooking, just as you peruse there. All right. Now, of course, where are we going with all of this? We're going to the autonomic nervous system. That's what this is about. When you watch Hoff and you get a sense of who this guy has gotten in to a different experience. He's there, man. You know, Terence McKenna did it with hallucinogenic mushrooms. Although McKenna was just born that way. I shouldn't say that way. But all this, mescaline and peyote, not really my ticket. But they want to get you into that reptilian you. I don't mean reptile, not that nonsense. I'm talking about into your primal you. On the other side of your ego, on other side of your conscious inhibitions. Look, you people listening to this that are sick, listen deeply. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to lose if you don't get this. There's no herbal remedy that's going to work without getting this stuff down. Believe me, I wish there was. My life would have been a lot easier. I don't know if I wish there was. Let me just say, my life would have been a lot easier had it just been about popping supplements and doing detoxifications. But the bottom line is, it doesn't work. You got to get into your autonomics. I lose more people every week because they can't get into the autonomic nervous system. And that's what Hoff is trying to tell you. And his sincerity and his humility are typical of someone who's been there. You have to go there. This is a way to get there. And whether you get there by hyperventilation, by reading ancient Aramaic, or by getting into gardening, it doesn't really matter. But you have to know that place. And we don't have a language for that place. That's why when you talk about this stuff, it sounds weird. We don't spend time trying to describe to each other what that place feels like. But that place is where your health is. And this isn't poetry. It's not jargon. It is the reality. So if you get nothing, just get the sincerity of this individual, Hoff. And you'll know he's been somewhere. In all these feats, in all these underwater excursions, that you should be interested in going. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, and I'm telling you, go there too. Okay, God bless you. We'll see you next week. 714-850-1007. I don't know if I even need to mention that. But if you're confused, listen to the shows. And then if you're humble, meaning if you're open, make the appointment. Sit down and be a colleague. Don't be a patient. Be a colleague. Be a junior student. If this excites you, you're on your way. Let me just say that. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.